Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, July 30th, and it's Pistons podcast week beginning today. Maybe a new great tradition here on Locked On Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA and other sports for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine, especially this summer. Today, we're going to kick off Pistons podcast week. As we know, it's dead period time here in Pistons land, so we have a little bit different content for you this summer. I'm going to be kicking off the celebration with an interview with Laz Jackson, the editor of the Detroit Bad Boys website and also the host of the Detroit Bad Boys podcast. And also give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. And also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Let us know if we're forgetting any of the other great Pistons podcasts out there. And look, I know that we're not the only option for you in the Pistons podcast content corner. We are the only daily one that I know of, or several times a week in the summer, I should say. But we have our own niche here on Locked On Pistons. We keep it short. We're under 30 minutes every episode. A lot of times even shorter than that, so you can knock us out on the commute real easily. We pass along all the news that you need to know, and not just in the traditional sense. What's Pistons Twitter and Pistons Reddit going on about today? What internet memes are out there that you should know about? What trade rumors are out there about the team? I give my opinions on things that I have opinions about surrounding the team. We have compelling guests, pretty impressive list of them over the past year, if I say so myself. But the other Pistons podcasts have their own strengths as well. As far as I know, all of these other ones are pretty much weekly podcasts. Today, like I said, we're talking to Laz Jackson of Detroit Bad Boys. Also scheduled to talk to Aaron of Palace of Pistons this week, David of Above the Cylinder, and Keith of the Two Gods and a Goose podcast. There's a couple others out there. Joe Truck out in the west side of the state used to do the hashtag Pistons podcast. Not sure if he's still doing it, maybe taking a hiatus in the offseason. Joe, reach out to me. Let me know if it's still going on or what the plans are. Also, James Edwards, the third of The Athletic, was doing one from time to time throughout the season too. And I'll get verification from James what the plans are for that podcast this week as well. We've had Joe and James on before and have talked about those podcasts, so we're planning on skipping them this week. No offense, guys, but I wanted to acknowledge them as well. Are there any others out there, Pistons land? Let me know, and we will be sure to mention them this week. If not, have them on the show sometime soon as well. I do remember that there maybe were a couple others that I came across this year, but that's the thing about podcasts. Sometimes people start them up and they notice that maybe they aren't getting the traffic and the listens that they're hoping for, and it becomes a quick venture a lot of times. But if there are many, if there are some out there that are still going, go ahead, and if you know them, if you are one, reach out, and we'll definitely mention you this week here on the series of shows. Also wanted to talk about my weekend at Mopop. Actually, I just went on Sunday, and I know what you're thinking. Matt, aren't you entirely too old to go to Mopop? And the answer is absolutely yes, but it was my first time going, and I will be going again in the future too. I was the strange guy who handed out about a half a dozen of the Locked On Pistons business cards too, so thanks for being gracious. If you're one of the guys who accepted that and chatted for a minute, including Christian with the Blake Griffin jersey, Pat with the outstanding Bill Walton UCLA jersey, a few of the others too that were out there. Spread the word, guys. Thanks for listening. Loved seeing the National cap the show on Sunday. Portugal the Man, not just that one song. It's a great band. Check them out. I have to get deeper into their catalog now that I saw what a performance that those guys put on. But the National, it was a nice Sunday night capper to the festival. Not the rager band that you might expect to close a big youthful festival, but a band I enjoy a lot. Nice to get our friends from Ohio up here in downtown Detroit. Even talked to quite a bit of our brothers and sisters from the South. Good times. Highly recommend going in the future if you get a chance, or seeing the National at another venue. But anyway, downtown Detroit was lit up with the Ambassador Bridge lit up. The skyline in the background behind the main stage looked great. Detroit summers, what can you say? I'm so happy to be back. It's been the summer of Matt, really getting out and seeing the state after 8 years away. Went to the Tigers game on Saturday night. A nice win and a quick win against the Cleveland Indians, despite the rest of the weekend, but a beautiful night in downtown Detroit at Comerica Park as well. So yeah, thanks to everyone for making it possible for me to be home and doing the things I do here, and spreading the word about the podcast is the best way that you can help going forward. So today we're going to be talking to Laz Jackson of Detroit Bad Boys and the Detroit Bad Boys podcast. But you've heard me talk about the advertising, and we're actively looking for more of it here on Locked On Pistons. If you want to reach that key demo of men between the ages of 18 to 44, provincial Pistons fans that probably have ties to Metro Detroit and an interest in spending their dollars locally, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So all sorts of daily dedicated listeners that are interested in helping out your company as you help out the Locked On Pistons podcast. So if you're interested in reaching that group, email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And now to kick off Pistons podcast week here on Locked On Pistons, kind of one of the deans of Pistons Twitter and the Detroit Bad Boys site, the editor of Detroit Bad Boys, and also the host of the Detroit Bad Boys podcast, which you can find on iTunes. Joining us now, Laz Jackson. Thanks for taking the time, Laz.
Thanks for having me. Dean, that is a new title. I'll take that one.
Well, you're down in North Carolina, so the name Dean means a lot down there, from what I understand. And Laz, you can find him on Twitter as Laz Chance, but if you're a Pistons fan, you're on Twitter, you're probably following him already. But Laz, how's the summer going for you so far?
Summer's going great. It's hot down here in North Carolina, but not too hot. Lawn's going good, and everything's quiet on the Pistons front so far.
Yeah, I think we finally reached that point where, you know, there's really not much to expect here over these next 5 weeks or so until we get into September, and probably another few more weeks after that too. But as I mentioned, editor for the Detroit Bad Boys site, the SB Nation site that covers the team, and I know many of you listeners already read Detroit Bad Boys and are already very familiar with it, but how long have you been writing for Detroit Bad Boys, and how'd you get started with it?
So this upcoming season will be my third as a writer/editor. And my second as the host of the Detroit Bad Boys podcast. Initially, I was just a lowly commentator, like everybody else in Detroit Bad Boys. Before I got some emails and some DMs from people who are intrigued by my background and my writing style, and they wanted me to come write some stuff. And one thing led to another, and now I'm one of the editors.
And before that, Laz, as we talked off mic here, you're a Michigan State guy and grew up in the Detroit area too. Tell us about what your background is in terms of developing your basketball insight.
So I grew up in Redford, which is just north of Dearborn, just west of Detroit. And I went to Detroit Country Day, actually. So I know you're probably pretty familiar with the high schools in the Metro Detroit area. Country Day is really well known and well regarded for
it. Do they play sports at Country Day?
Yeah, once or twice a year.
They've won some games. All right.
So being in that environment, I think, really spurred my love of sports and my love of sports journalism. And so after that, I went to Michigan State. I got my degree in sports journalism. I worked at the state news for a couple of years. That was a lot of fun. I met some really great people. And then after school, I worked at MLive for approximately 6 months, but I was in a call center, taking calls from high school coaches from all over the state after games, you know, working till midnight, getting stuff up on the site that no one would ever see. And so the light at the end of the tunnel was looking really dim for me. So I decided to do something else with my life. And now I write about sports for fun. And it's something that keeps me, keeps me mentally stimulated, but it doesn't pay the bills. And like, that's the way I want it, you know?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Sometimes when I was in full time for newspapers, which was about 12 years myself, it became a job. And that's not sometimes what we wanted or what we got into it for. And I'm kind of somewhere stuck in the middle of that right now as kind of a freelancer, part-timer / podcaster. So kind of figuring it out as I go along here back in Detroit. But like as we talked off camera and or off mic, I guess, and now most people already know that, Reed, that you're down in North Carolina. Tell us about what it's like living down there as a Detroit sports fan. It's always been a place I like visiting, North Carolina. One of my best friends is a sports TV anchor down in Charlotte. What's it like for a Detroiter down south?
So it's really nice. The weather is much better, as you'd imagine. The thing is, I live in the RDU, like the Triangle area. And so the big thing here is college sports, because we have the three universities within like 40 minutes of each other, UNC, North Carolina State, and Duke. And so every year, college football and college basketball are huge, but the nearest pro teams are in Charlotte, which is 2.5 hours away. And so there's very much like this excitement and this verb that surrounds the city, like for college football and college basketball. But you don't get any of that for any professional sports. So that was a weird adjustment. That was a coming down here and like having no one really willing to talk basketball like with me is one of the things that kind of drove me towards DBB, which is like, okay, I can find some like-minded individuals to talk about, you know, the teams I love with, even if it's just online instead of in person.
Now, you mentioned the podcast. I think you've been hosting it for at least this past season. Has it been longer than that? And what can folks kind of expect from the podcast and kind of plans for it going forward?
So, yeah, I've been hosting for about a year now. I started at the beginning of this past season. I like to think of us as relatively like analytical but conversational. We don't, you know, suffuse people with stats. But we're also not like, we're not super duper humorous. I like to think we're funny, but like our humor is kind of dry in like an NPR kind of way. But it's very like conversational. You never feel like confronted with anything that you don't want to hear. And I'm excited to be doing it. It's something that I've really just dove into and gotten really interested in. And so I've been pleased to be a part of this podcast as well, because this is obviously like you got to listen to the competition, right? And so I've been listening to the work you've been doing, Matt, and I've been impressed. And so I'm grateful to be here, but I'm also grateful to have you know, you and other people in the Detroit Pistons sphere kind of pushing me to be a better podcaster and you know, write more clearly and analyze things more effectively. And so thanks for that.
Yeah, likewise. Absolutely. I've been listening to, ever since I took over Locked On Pistons. I had to listen to you guys, and you could call it the competition. And it's a little bit awkward to have the other podcasters on this week like we will. But I think it's a something that we should continue maybe quarterly or something like that as we go forward. And like you said, there's more time in the week for everyone to catch all the podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. Like we talked about a little bit when we were setting this up, like all of us can eat. There's not, you know, so little demand for Pistons content that we all can't like have our niche and have our podcasts.
And like, I remember, I think when James Edwards was on your show, he was telling you about your dulcet tones, your pipes for it. And you do a great job. You mentioned the NPR. That's you got the great NPR voice for that. And appreciate that getting me through my gym work throughout this past year in Chicago and Detroit. But Laz, and again, I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here for some of the listeners that are obviously very familiar with Detroit Bad Boys as a site as well. But the SB Nation site itself, DetroitBadBoys.com, how has that kind of evolved in time? I know that maybe you haven't been with it since the very beginning, but what's the future look like for the site kind of this coming up season?
So I was really excited by the growth of the type of content we had on the site this past season. The basketball the Pistons have played over the last couple of years in the Stan Van Gundy era has not always been the most entertaining brand of basketball. But I think that with guys on the site like Michael Snyder, with guys on the site like Steve Henson, with guys on the site like a Chris Daniels or Justin Lembrexy, I think I'm really happy with the quality of analysis that we offer to Pistons fans. And then, of course, the board is open, so people can just come in and talk about whatever they want to talk about. We have open threads. We've got silly stuff. We've got we have a mock off season that's a memorial to one of our more prolific posters who actually unfortunately passed away not that long ago. And so we hold a mock off season in his honor. He loved fake trades, the bigger the better. And so everybody tries to put together the craziest like five team trades that you can think of in order to honor one of our posters memories. And so I'm really happy with the community that we've built over at DBB. And I know if any of your listeners, you know, aren't fans of DBB or haven't been there yet, like I encourage you to, you know, seek out the site. We love to have you. We love having new people.
Yeah, and I think your story is kind of one that's tried and true with not just Detroit Bad Boys, but similar sites across the internet for different teams and different sports, is that if you want to get involved A, just get out there commenting, say your piece, say your analysis, drop some funny one lines, and then get in touch with a guy like Laz, and maybe you can write for those sites as well. So I think that's an easy way, but also requires a lot of work. We all got jobs, we all got all other things going on. So if you want to get involved, you kind of got to do a little bit extra work to get there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm willing to read any Pistons content anyone creates. I'll tell you if it's bad. I'll tell you if it's good. But if anyone out there wants to come write for DBB, you have my Twitter address. You have my email is in my Twitter bio. Like, reach out. I'll help you out.
And Laz, you had a nice Twitter rant as we taped this on Friday, early afternoon today, actually, about amnesties and star players and max money guys that I enjoyed. What's the Cliff Notes version of that?
So the Cliff Notes version of that is that I think amnesties should be implemented more aggressively into the collective bargaining agreement. And this was spurred, obviously, by a Zach Lowe piece that came out earlier today about max contract extensions and max players. And the gist of that was some teams were looking for a remedy to get out from under some of the larger contracts that that they've signed in the past. And, you know, amnestying them was one option that was bandied about. But what that ultimately leads to in some people's minds is the ability for some of the richer teams, some of the taxpayer teams, like the Lakers, like the Warriors, like the Knicks, the teams that print money, it enables them to basically just pay to rectify their mistakes and then, you know, continue, you know, on with their merry way without contributing anything to the luxury tax. The reason I like amnesties is because the players get paid, and the only one that really are hurt by this are the owners. I figure if you're an owner and you have to sign a check for like two or three amnesties that will lead you to a GM regime change, you're wondering why you have to bail out your GM from all these bad contracts that he's signing. And so they'll be changed in that manner. But the other thing that I was saying was that normally in the past, in the 2011 CBA, we had an amnesty provision, and a lot of not every team used their amnesty provision, and B, most of the provisions were used on role players, actually, not max level guys. And so I think that if, you know, Zach Lowe was talking about amnesting max level guys, I don't really think that's what teams would use their amnesty on. I use the example of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks have like 90 plus million tied up in guys that aren't Giannis Antetokounmpo. And like, you, if you're, when you're building a team, you're fine paying Giannis like whatever he's worth. You're fine paying him 35% of the cap. The problem is when you're paying like John Henson 12 million, when you're paying, when you can't afford to pay Jabari Parker, you don't want to pay Jabari Parker, when you're paying Ersan Ilyasova 7 million, when you're paying Tony Snell like 10 plus million, like that is where the problems come in the roster construction, not Giannis. And so I think if amnesty provisions were to be more prolific in the CBA, I think that that's what they would be used for. And so I think those fears about teams just, you know, using amnesties to buy out all their mistakes and then sign max players are a little bit unfounded.
Yeah, and I think we can draw that back with the Pistons, with that, you know, the Blake Griffin's injury history and injury present and injury future notwithstanding, any problems that the Pistons have had with the cap, probably, like I said, unless Griffin goes down with something horrific in 3 years from now, making those last 2 years look even worse than maybe they do at $40 million ish. I think that the bigger problem is the overpaying of role players that Stan Van Gundy did during his era, which hampers a lot of what else they could do to get more productive players around the guys like Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. Although that's an awkward fit too. The Pistons, all sorts of can of worms that we could get into, but I think you could probably tie in your thoughts on Blake Griffin to that too.
Well, I mean, the thing I have to say about Blake Griffin is the thing I've said since the trade was that Blake Griffin does not necessarily get the Pistons any closer to a championship, but he was undoubtedly better than Tobias Harris. He was more Avery Bradley had kind of run his course as a Piston, and Boban was an expensive luxury that Stan Van Gundy never fully paid for. And so when you look at reports of Tobias declining to sign like a 4-year, $80 million extension in the hopes of a larger contract, you think about the premium the Pistons might be preparing to pay him if they never made the Blake Griffin trade. And you think about the difference between, you know, what's the marginal difference between Blake Griffin at $33 million and Tobias Harris at, you know, 25, 24 million. It's like, well, I think it's undoubtable that, like, when healthy, Blake Griffin is a better player. And so like Tobias at 14 million or whatever he's making now is, you know, more conducive to building a team around. But when he makes, you know, double that or close to double that, like, is he equally like at a premium over Blake? And, you know, the answer appears to me, at least, to be no. Like, when Blake's healthy, he's a top 25 player in the league. And, you know, that's what top 25 players in the league get paid. And so, again, the issue is not max guys. The issue is, you know, paying Langston Galloway $21 million and then never playing him. The issue is paying John Luehr $40 million and then him succumbing to some injuries and also just being kind of generally ineffective when on the court. The issue is the aforementioned Boban Marjanovic, him making $7 million a year, which, you know, also like cut you out of the running for Aaron Baines, who currently makes less than Boban and is probably the more useful NBA player. So like stuff like that on the margins is where you lose is where you lose on the margins, I think.
And like I've said, the summer of 16, you can pretty much base how smart and how forward thinking your front office is based on what they did in the summer of 16. And Stan Van Gundy fell into the salary cap spike trap in a major way and kind of dug his own grave with some of the moves that he made year.
And you can if your team didn't spend money, that doesn't necessarily mean they were smart. That just means, you know, they had foresight. Look at the Chicago Bulls, right? Chicago Bulls didn't spend any money in 2016, but now they're paying Jabari Parker $40 million over 2 years and Zach LaVine $80 million over 4 years. And like those guys aren't getting you any closer to a championship either. And so you know, you eventually have to spend money on something. And so I'm pleased to tie it kind of back into Detroit. I'm pleased that in the end that Tom Gores and Stan Van Gundy got together and decided to spend the bulk of their money on Blake Griffin, who's a top 25 player when healthy, and Andre Drummond, who is something like a top 35 player in the NBA. Just and because of the value of his position is like knocked a little bit lower than maybe he should be.
Yeah, kind of depending on what criteria you're using for that point. But Laz, close up here. Anything else you got sticking in your craw these days, this off season, that you might be writing about soon, or anything that you want to get off your chest here late July?
So I've been my latest crusade has been my thought that Glenn Robinson III should be a starter when training camp closes in, you know, late September, early October. I haven't fully like wrapped my head around like what a piece about that would look like, but it's something I've been turning over for quite some time and something I hope to have coming out in the next couple weeks. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting training camp battle. We're all waiting for Stanley Johnson to put those 1.5 quarters, turn those into full games, or turn 2 or 3 pretty good games into a longer stretch and even have a consistent season, if that's ever going to be possible from him at small forward. And here we got Glenn Robinson III, who might be ready to make a similar jump in his career. Two guys that'll be kind of going at it for minutes there too. But Laz Jackson, Twitter, Laz, L-A-Z, Chance, easy to find there. Editor of the Detroit Bad Boys website, DetroitBadBoys.com, and also host of the Detroit Bad Boys podcast, which you can find on iTunes and everywhere else. Thanks for joining us to kick off Pistons podcast week here on Locked On Pistons, and hope you have a good season over there at the websites and the podcast there too.
Thank you, Matt, and you know, thanks for having me on, and I hope you have a very, you know, prosperous off season and into the regular season with Locked On Pistons. I listen when I can, and I've really enjoyed your work so far. So congratulations, and I hope you continue forward.
Thanks again to Laz Jackson of DetroitBadBoys.com and also the Detroit Bad Boys podcast. Check those guys out. Really enjoy listening to them weekly as well. All sorts of Pistons content out there for you guys this offseason and season as well. But this has been your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast. It's Pistons podcast week, so let us know if we're forgetting anyone. But also give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And give us a like on Facebook at @LockedOnPistons-MattShook. Have a great start to the week, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.